looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
3-0 smacked to the left, coming on Benintendi. He's there, he makes the catch, and the Red Sox win it. Rendon hit it right on the button, but that's 91 saves with the Red Sox tied for fourth most in franchise history for Craig Kimbrel.
91 saves for Craig Kimbrel, Dave O'Brien tells us. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't hear him say that last night. I hear it now. 91 saves. Most worthless stat in baseball, by the way, the save. It's one of them anyway. Let's open up the phone lines right away, if you would, Jimmy Stewart, our producer. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Tuesday before the 4th of July, we're in a little bit of a pickle, a little bit of a predicament when you really think about it in these circumstances. The Red Sox are playing at 6 o'clock tonight. It's the night before the 4th of July, and we get to take you to 7 o'clock. So, anything and everything on the Red Sox that you've been meaning to ask, tonight's a good night to do it. We'll do trivia later in the show, as we do every Tuesday, Trivia Tuesday. Try to give away a $100 gift card and a chance to see Boston play New York in September in what will undoubtedly be a big weekend series. They're going to play twice in the final couple of weeks of September, these teams. So there'll be a lot to get to there. And some other things I want to hit on during the course of the show, starting with the bullpen. Okay, you heard Dave O'Brien say there, Craig Kimbrel closed it out. A rocket to left field by Rendon that was caught by Andrew Benintendi. Looked like he lost the ball in the lights. And so on that play, tell me your heart didn't stop just a little bit. Because the Red Sox, as much as their bullpen got them through the final couple of innings last night, boy, it felt like a tightrope act. Matt Barnes, still walking people in the late innings. Joe Kelly gave up a home run that landed in Maryland, for crying out loud, Bryce Harper hit it so far. How'd you like to see Bryce Harper in a Red Sox uni, by the way? Tell me you wouldn't love to see that one next year. And then Craig Kimbrel comes in the eighth inning again, second time in three appearances, and ultimately closes it out, but that one was a little dicey too. Kimbrel got a little pissed off after he didn't get a strike call, and then it looked like he was losing it and ended the game on a line drive to left field that was absolutely smoked. So the Red Sox escaped. And my question to you is tonight, as a Red Sox fan, does a night like last night make you feel better about the bullpen or worse? Because I look at the bullpen, and every time I see them pitch like that, it shakes my confidence. The Washington Nationals ranked 21st in baseball in runs scored. 21st. That is not a good offensive team. Bryce Harper, for all of his talent, I think he's hitting 214, 215 going into last night, and he hit an absolute tape measure homer against Joe Kelly. But Bryce Harper has not been the player he's been in the past, at least not this year, in a contract year, which is kind of interesting. Because wouldn't you expect a guy like that to absolutely mash in a contract year? I know I do. I know I would. So if you were interested in Harper, does something like that give you pause? Like, to me, there are a bunch of little things to take from that game last night. And let me also say that David Price will continue to talk about his performance from Sunday night in New York, because I do think Price relates to the bullpen. Because I myself would stick him in the bullpen in October if he doesn't pitch well as a starter during the regular season. And when I say well, I mean that he has to be appreciably better than the next two guys in the rotation. David Price is your number two starter. So he has to be better than numbers three and four, Porcello and Eduardo Rodriguez. And so if those three guys are effectively the same pitcher, and David Price's career ERA as a starter in Boston is 4.03 now. 4.03. And that's a two-year sample. He missed a good chunk of last year because of injury. But as a starter, his ERA in Boston is four. That's really not that different from Porcello or Eduardo Rodriguez, for that matter. And if he's going to be like those guys, well, then I think he has more value in the bullpen. And I've told you, if I'm the Red Sox, fixing that bullpen right now is my number one priority. And the more I think about it, the Red Sox shouldn't just be looking for a short-term fix there, a setup man who can give them a handful of appearances here in the final 2 or 3 months of the season. They should be looking for more than that. They should be looking for a guy who can take over for Kimbrel as closer when Kimbrel departs by a free agency this offseason. And so I brought up the name last night, Raisel Iglesias of the Cincinnati Reds, a guy like that. A player like that is appealing to me. $5 million a year. He's signed for 2 more seasons. You can bring him in this year, and he can be a setup man for Kimbrel in the 8th inning. And then next year, Kimbrel goes and he can close, because that's what he's doing right now for the Reds anyway. So to me, that is the profile of the guy I'd like to see them get. Somebody like Iglesias. Doesn't have to be him exactly, but somebody like him. 617-779-0985. We will kick it off tonight with John, who's in a car, wants to talk about a number of things, it looks like. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tony, agree with you on the setup guy. We need to get one in this year, have him come to close the next year. Disagree with you on Porcello being a number three. Look at his rank in the American League since he came to the Red Sox. He's been a top 10, 12 pitcher since he's been here. He won a Cy Young. Maybe the ERA is a little bit higher, but his exact comp this year is Paxton from Seattle. He's a one or a two. How is Porcello not a one or a two?
Porcello, do you really think Rick Porcello's an ace?
Not an ace, but he's not a number three. I mean, I know the Cy Young was a little weak in that year, but he's not a number three guy. Look at the pitching around the league, Tony. There are not 15 guys that are number one in the American League, so that would be 15 starters, maybe number ones. Another 15 is number twos. You're telling me that Rick Porcello is not a top 30 starter in the American League? He's clearly he's a top 20. He's a top 15 starter.
Okay, so again, your definition of a number two is different than what my definition of a number two is. I'm not talking about guys on, if you're going to go around rosters and say he's a top 30 starter in the league, he probably is. How many teams are tanking, though? Are you really going to compare him to guys in, you know, pick any market? You're going to compare him to anybody in Baltimore? He'd be the ace on that staff. Does that make him an ace? No. Here's my point, John. Here's my point.
Yeah?
His career ERA is 4.21. That's career. Okay, that's almost 2,000 innings. His ERA with the Red Sox over 3+ years now is 4.07. He's effectively been the same pitcher here for 3 years that he was for the entirety of his time in Detroit. And his career record, he's 26 games over 500, but even then, wins and losses to me are typically a bad way to evaluate pitchers. I
completely agree, but if you look at WAR, which is against your replacement player, over the last 3 years, Porcello is a top 10 pitcher against other American League pitchers in WAR.
Yeah, so John, again, you're going to throw WAR at me, and I'm just telling you, I watch Rick Porcello pitch, and Rick Porcello is not a true number two starter. He's not. So now, look, I look at the Houston Astros, and I say, now, there you have a legit number two, and you have a legit number three, all behind a legit ace. What you have there in Houston is a stacked rotation. Now, you might tell me they're all aces. I'm just telling you that the gap between Chris Sale and the next best pitcher on the Red Sox is too big. Whether that is Rick Porcello, whether that is David Price, whether that is Eduardo Rodriguez, I would tell you all three of those guys are the same. So by your definition, David Price is a number two starter. And I don't think he is. I don't think Price has been good enough. So to me, all those guys are mid-rotation guys. They're guys who can fill out staffs on a lot of teams. But are those guys you really want to give the ball to in game two of a playoff series? Because I don't think they are. Mike's in Weymouth. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Tony. I just wanted to talk about, I've been following kind of some of the stats down at Pawtucket, and I noticed Rusty Castillo is having a pretty good year down there. I'd love to see them, you know, try to bring him up and see how he does in the majors again and basically, you know, try to get something for Bradley while, you know, while he's playing hot. You know, they could try to maybe try to get a bullpen arm, maybe package something with Swihart. You know, I know they're not they're not using him a lot, so I'd love to see what they can do with Castillo. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
So, Mike, listen, you're not the first with this idea, and it's not a bad idea. I'm not a big Castillo fan, but nonetheless, the last time I looked, he was hitting about 310, 315 down at Pawtucket. There wasn't a ton of power. All indications are that he's been playing pretty good defense down there on top of it. So you could easily say, well, you know what? Bring him up. Get rid of Bradley or put Bradley on the bench. Hell, you could option Bradley out if you wanted to. Okay, but the idea of playing Castillo over Bradley, you're not wrong. The issue is not with the player's talent. Again, I don't like him. But by now, under normal circumstances, he would have had a shot. Here's why he hasn't. Because a couple of years ago, the Red Sox took him off their 40-man roster. And by doing so, they didn't have to count him against the luxury tax anymore. If they add him back, he counts against the luxury tax again, and he alone, with an average salary of about $10 million, and even though you'd be taking on half of that at this stage, basically puts you into that luxury tax threshold over 237 that you don't want to go to because you have other needs. So the bottom line, it's not a baseball decision. It's a business decision. Sadly, I always hate it when the Red Sox are making decisions based on money versus what's best for the team and the best to win a championship. But the reality is, in this day and age, you're going to be business decisions. So that's why Castillo hasn't been here yet. That's why he hasn't been here in a long, long time. Okay, that's why. Should he be able to give him more than Bradley? Yes. I mean, Bradley's been basically the worst offensive player in the major leagues all year. And since the All-Star break of last year, the only worse player than him offensively is Chris Davis of the Orioles. So Bradley's been a disaster, but they're not going to bring up Ruznik. They're not going to bring up Castillo. Because, again, to do so would affect their luxury tax number, and they don't want to do that. 617-779-0985. When we come back, I told you, bullpen, David Price. To me, there is a solution there for the Red Sox as this year approaches. But something dawned on me today that I had not considered and that I think should be a real possibility. We'll talk about that when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes, Heath Henry, Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Barr, Kelly, Thornburg, Hembry, Barr.
And today's gutless bum is...
Two nothing. Driven deep. Forget about this one. Look at this one, Carey. Boy, did he crush that. And it's back to a one-run game here in Washington.
So it wasn't it wasn't a flagrant offense of the Wheel of Gutless Bums, courtesy of Jim Murray. But that home run that Bryce Harper hit off of Joe Kelly last night, oh my God, what a bomb. What an absolute freaking smash of a home run that was. That ball was destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. There are certain home runs that you would describe in baseball as being quote-unquote majestic. That was one of them.
Yeah, but even still, I think if you're talking about a different team with a better lineup, I mean, he got a couple of outs after that home run, but he still looked shaky. And again, look at who he got out. Was it Murphy and then who's that shortstop, Defoe? Yeah, so come on. Like, and even still, it looked like it was a little bit of a big effort there for Kelly to get out of that, and he comes out, and in comes Craig Kimbrell, and he ended up even walking a guy. So I think if you're talking about a different team, it's maybe a little bit of a different outcome. I don't know how anyone can trust this bullpen. I still feel shaky about it, and you should too, even though they get out of it last night.
So, Murray, I didn't feel good about any of them. Again, I didn't feel good about Barnes. He walked in, and I went, here we go. Kelly gave up the long home run. Kimbrel, everything you just said. So, to me, the Red Sox need bullpen help, which we'll get to here in 1 second, and there's a reason why we played that home run in particular. Aside from the fact that it was an absolute moonshot, beyond that, because Joe Kelly factors into this discussion, too, and I'll explain it all to you here in just 1 second. In the interim, Joe's in Somerville. Joe, what do you got, pal?
Tony, what's up, brother?
What's on your mind?
I was sitting at the bar last night. I saw Joe Kelly come in. I looked at my buddy. I said, meatball down the plate, 450 feet. I mean, I think it went 428. I was close.
437 or something like it. It was a smash.
I called it. I knew it was going to come. Why wouldn't you put in someone like Stephen Wright? Just for one batter, maybe.
Okay, you know so, I mean? Not, yeah. So, Joe, listen, you had me up until Stephen Wright. And, look, they like Kelly against lefties. Okay, they like Kelly against everybody. The Kelly's their eighth inning guy. They believe in Joe Kelly. They tell us over and over and over again until we're blue in the face. So they like Joe Kelly. Good for them.
Wright's still on the disabled list anyway. But it doesn't matter who it is. Again, thus the wheel of the gutless bums. They all have stuff, and they all stink.
Because they can't throw quality pitches under pressure, Murray. Really, it's unbelievable. And I'll tell you, I have my doubts about Kimbrel even, but in the grand scheme of things, he's the least of your worries. Okay, so Kimbrel got through it last night, but
Him even coming into the eighth inning, it's like, oh boy, here we go, because typically that tends to blow up in his face. I know it worked out for him a bit last year, but still, overall, I feel like any time that Kimbrel comes into the eighth inning, it's going to be a roller coaster ride.
Well, and so I don't know if it was in the eighth inning last night. I think it was in the ninth who he was pitching against, but I started to worry about Kimbrel when he threw a breaking ball that he thought was a strike. And in his defense, it probably was. And the umpire called it a ball, and it should have ended the game. I think he ended up walking Daniel Murphy. Maybe it was Daniel Murphy. He ended up walking him. It brought Rendon to the plate, and then it felt like he was all over the place. And I thought, he can't keep it together. He was pissed off, and he didn't get the call, and so he was losing it. And I thought, well, here you go. He's going to break down. Fortunately, Rendon hit a bullet to left field that Benintendi caught. But I've said over and over here, what I want the Red Sox to do this trading deadline is I want them to go out and get a younger, a younger closer who is under team control that they can use as a setup man. So I keep giving you the example of, and I don't know if it's Raisel or Raisel Iglesias with the Reds, who, you know, has a good year-to-year 2.8 ERA, 2.7 ERA, strikeout per inning. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. He's pitching in Cincinnati. What do the Reds need a young closer for? The Reds suck, and they should be able to replace a closer. So if they trade Iglesias, and I don't know if you have the artillery to get him, but they should be able to withstand it. They don't even need the guy. So you should be making a pitch for that kind of player. And then at the end of this season, Kimbrel goes to free agency, you don't pay him the $15 million a year, and then Iglesias becomes your closer. And then you start all over again with Thornburg and whoever else, and Barnes and whoever else is in your bullpen. And part of the reason you need to do that is because Kimbrel's gone, but here's the other reason. You know who else is a free agent at the end of this year? Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly's up at the end of this season. So you not only are you going to lose Kimbrel, but you're going to lose the guy you deem to be your primary setup man. Now look, maybe the Red Sox will pay Kelly. Maybe they think Kelly is the future closer. In fact, Jim Murray and Jimmy Stewart, let me ask you both that. Think of that scenario. If Kimbrel goes...
Yuck.
If Kimbrel goes and Joe Kelly becomes the closer, how do you feel about that?
Oh, that's a disaster way
to
happen.
You hate him. Yeah. Right?
Terrible.
So I don't like Kelly as a setup man, let alone the closer. Like, you're going to put him in the closer's role? No way. He's a serviceable late-inning reliever.
He couldn't close in St. Louis where everybody can close in St. Louis.
So he's, in fact, I'd go so far as to say he's pretty good. But in a big spot, on the road, Kelly in Houston, Kelly in New York, no way. Not in a million years. Which brings me to my developing take. I have told you, And I would love your feedback, Jimmy, and you, Murray, because honestly, I'm not sure how many people are going to hear it tonight. So this is a good way to sort of throw it out there. And let's see what you guys think, and then we'll see if we want to throw it to the fans. But I have said to you, if David Price doesn't distinguish himself as a starting pitcher here over the final 3 months of the season, and distinguish himself, I mean compared to Porcello and compared to Eduardo Rodriguez. If those three guys are basically the same pitcher, and right now it feels to me like they are, in fact, I'd give a little bit of an edge to Porcello. But if those three guys are the same, then I put Price in the bullpen and hope I can get out of him what I got out of him a year ago. Okay, out of the bullpen last year in the playoffs and late in the season, Price was awesome. So then it occurred to me. It hit me like a freaking lightning bolt. If Kimbrel goes and you're unable to make a trade for an eighth inning guy that could be your closer, what about Price? What about using David Price as your closer starting in 2019?
Yeah, you can try it, but I don't trust him because, again, you're talking about high-leverage situations, trying to close out a game, all the pressure's on. I still think it would blow up in his face. I know he's at his best in just small samples in a couple of innings. I mean, he proved that last year in the postseason. But David Price as a closer, pressure's too high. I think he'd puke all over himself.
Is it worth a shot, Jimmy Stewart? Would you try it?
Yes, I don't think he'd go for it, but I like the idea where you have a closer who can go multiple innings potentially, and he's a martyr, so he's going to try to blow out his arm anyway. So, and actually, that makes more sense. Him in shorter stints can get to 97, 98, where he's been more effective in his career historically, instead of now where he's more finesse 92, 93.
All I'm telling you is this.
Yeah, it's worth trying. I don't have high expectations.
Okay, all I'm telling you is this. The best I've seen David Price throw as a member of the Red Sox is when he was out of the bullpen last year. He was unbelievable. 96, 97, he was throwing bullets. He was pitching with attitude, intensity, all of it. And so the other variable is the money, right? The money. You're going to pay $31 million a year for a closer?
Yep, and he better be the best in the league.
And so you know what my answer is? Yep, I am. Because you know what? He's not earning the money as a starter. I mean, he's giving you more innings. But realistically, he's got an ERA over 4 during his Red Sox career as a starter. Now, does he have more value as a starting pitcher? Maybe. But what if he's really good at closing? What if he's like Papelbon good? What if he just goes out there and airs it out because he doesn't have to think and it's just about blowing people away? What if he can do what he did last September and October? Me? I would try it. And you know what, Murray? If it doesn't work, then you put him back in the rotation. Here's the other thing. If you stick him into the bullpen at the end of this year, and he throws the ball well, and you tell him, look, we're thinking about using you as our closer next year, does he opt out?
Hopefully.
Does he look at that and say, well, you know what, I don't want to close. If you guys are serious, I'm out.
Thank you.
So, you know what? If I'm the Red Sox, I would threaten it. But I would only threaten it if I'm willing to do it. And me, personally, I'm willing to do it. I don't think it's a bad alternative for David Price. That game in New York the other night shook me to the core. Boy, you cannot pitch any more poorly in that spot than that guy did. With all the attention and focus on that game, he went out there and gave up 5 home runs. 5 in 3 1/3 innings. He gave him 9 hits. 5 of them left the ballpark. I'm telling you, bullpen's an option, and maybe just not in the short term, maybe in the long.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The count's 0-2 on Victorino. That's hit well. To Boston in the 7th on their second grand slam in this series.
So do you remember that one? You remember that one, Jim Murray? Shane Indeed. Victorino, grand slam against the Detroit Tigers. Game 6 of the American League Championship Series here at Fenway Park. Victorino, grand slam. Red Sox were down 2-1 in the 7th inning at the time. Down 2-1. And you heard Joe Buck say they're the second Grand Slam of the series. You remember the first one, of course.
David Ortiz.
There you go. David Ortiz.
Which was not the winning one. Of course, it was Jared Saltalamacchia, the perm, who had a walk-off single in that same inning.
Okay, so there you go.
Low ball one.
So there's a reason we're playing Victorino's Grand Slam for you here. Do you realize that today, Shane Victorino announces retirement from Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I saw that floating around a little bit.
Okay, so did I. And to which I reacted by saying, I didn't realize he didn't retire 3 years ago. Like, did you realize that he was even still unretired?
No.
Like,
was he anyone in anyone's minor league system?
No, he hasn't played in 3 years.
That's what I thought.
Like, all of a sudden, the guy announces his retirement? What the hell is that all about?
You know, Mazin, whatever the other guy is.
Yeah, Mazin Felger, in that order.
Mazin.
And so, I found this comical.
I don't know who these two clowns are.
Like, Shane Victorino announces retirement today. I said, oh, well, that's nice of him. Because I haven't seen the guy on a field in 3 years. Like, all of a sudden, Shane Victorino retires and it's news?
I'll never get to talk to him face-to-face. Why? Because they don't show up.
I mean, I wonder what inspired him today to announce his retirement. Like, was he actually still harboring thoughts of a return? Like this, Shane Victorino announces retirement.
But don't get behind a mic and be a coward.
Thanks for letting me know, because I'd spent the last 3 years wondering where you were.
I hope I get to talk to these individuals face-to-face and tell them.
Absolutely ridiculous, Shane Victorino. Before we get back to the program, I should do this now. The game's ongoing. Usually we do it before the game, but it was a 6 o'clock start tonight for the Red Sox. Big matchup of the game brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y has all the bases covered to get you game ready this baseball season. Stop in tonight on your way home or wherever you're going. Cape, North, Beach this weekend, whatever. Big Y is a good place for you. Brian Johnson doesn't have, I think, 7 at-bats in the Nationals' current lineup. Howie Kendrick is 1-for-2 against him, but Kendrick's on the DL, so he's not even playing tonight. And against the Red Sox, Tanner Roark, you know who had good matchup numbers against him, Jimmy? Eduardo Nunez. And 1-for-2, small sample. Because, again, Roark had never really faced many guys in that lineup, but Nunez was 1-for-2 against him. Nunez tonight, with a 3-run homer already. The Red Sox have a 3-0 lead. So if you're interested in the game, we can update you here as we go. Again, they are now in the, looks like the top of the third inning there. Mookie Betts is batting. Red Sox lead 3-0 over the Nationals. Brian Johnson has looked half decent so far in this game. This is a game the Red Sox should win. And because this guy Roark stinks.
And he looks like a complete a-hole, too, with this facial hair going on. Now, granted, I probably shouldn't talk as a guy with a beard, but he's trying to rock some, like, old-school T-106 American Tobacco Company Honest Wagner type crap going on here. Like, get out of here, buddy. It's 2018. Shave that thing.
He looks like he should be playing for the 70s Oakland A's. That's what he looks like.
That, too. Yeah, there is that.
I mean, he's got that sort of look going. But Roark's got an ERA over 6. They should beat the crap out of this guy tonight. They should easily win this game. 617-779-0985. And incidentally, while we're on the topic of tonight's game, the series as a whole, the Red Sox really should clean up on these guys the more I look at it. Murray, you said this earlier. The Nationals are a bad team.
Brutal.
And they have a bunch of injuries right now. So Zimmerman's out. Ryan Zimmerman's out. We mentioned Kendrick is out. Matt Wieters is out. Steven Strasburg is out. And they get some other guys on the 60-day DL who look like they're going to be out for a long period of time. So everything is leaning in the Red Sox direction for this series. This really is. It's a team they should clean up on.
And I thought that they were. Look, I hadn't been paying all that much attention to the National League East, but what, they're 7 games out of first right now. I think they've lost like 18 out of 20. I saw that in Pete Abe's notes. Like, they blow.
And so, well, this raises an interesting question, too, that someone said last night. And I don't remember who said it. But if the Nationals are out of it here in the next few weeks, Bryce Harper could be a trade candidate. I mean, they've been unable to sign him thus far. If they're going to throw a pile of money at him, they can still do it. They can trade Harper, get an absolute haul for him, and then bring him back, sign him to a big contract, and now you've rebuilt your team in a number of different ways. So there's a real opportunity there for the Nationals to do something with Bryce Harper at this deadline, because along with Machado, and it feels like trade talks on him are heating up, Manny Machado of the Baltimore Orioles, certainly they are going to be the prime free agents in this year's class come the fall. And so if the Nationals keep going the way they're going, it would not surprise me in the least bit if they deal Bryce Harper here.
Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. for Bryce Harper, who says no.
Approaching July 31st. Jimmy already foreshadowing the callers to the program here next week, in the next weeks. All right, coming up next, as we do every Tuesday, Trivia Tuesday here on the Baseball Reporters. The first five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, and that is 617-931-0985. 617-931-0985. You will have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday. If you can answer three questions correctly, you will get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you will be automatically entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. You'll get round-trip train tickets. You'll get a hotel stay. You'll get tickets to the game in what will be a big series between Boston and New York. Okay? First five callers again to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball
Trivia
Reporter.
Tuesday.
This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
Okay, you guys know the drill. Again, early in the year, we had to dumb down the questions for this contest. We had to dumb them down. Because I was asking stuff that was probably a little too inside. And I spent a lot of time around the team, right? So I've lived here my whole life. So the Red Sox are in your blood. You sort of pick up a lot of stupid facts along the way. Then I came to realize they were too hard. So we dumbed it down. And then it became too easy. So now we've intensified the questions again. And if you can get three in a row correct, again, you will win a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill. And you will be automatically entered in a drawing for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. You'll get round-trip train tickets for two tickets to the game, and a night's hotel stay. Okay? So it's a good get. It really is. We kick it off tonight with, let's see, who is this? This is Chris in, no, actually, Chris has not been on the longest. Tony in Hopkinton has been on the longest. Tony, you there?
Hey, Tony.
Okay, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Following the 2004 World Series, Pedro Martinez left the Red Sox via free agency and signed with this team. What team did Pedro sign with?
The Mets.
The Mets is correct. Very good. Okay, you get two more, you win, and it'll be one of the quickest contests we've had here. Okay, next question. In May of 1986, the Red Sox won a game at Cleveland by a 2-0 score after 5 2/3 innings, when umpires had to stop play because of the fog. After the game, this Red Sox player said, quote, "That's what you get for building a stadium next to the ocean," end quote. Who was he?
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens is incorrect. Incorrect. So, Murray, without giving away the answer, do you know the answer to that one?
I do. I loved that guy. he was a peach.
I see Matt McCarthy chuckling over here, so I think he knows. I think he knows the answer to the question. Do you, Matt?
I could.
Don't say
guess.
It on the air, Matt.
I'm not going to say it on the air. I could take an educated guess.
Okay, a simple yes or no will suffice. So, in any case, let's go to Chris in North Providence. Chris, are you there?
Hey, Matt.
Okay, here you go. Your first question: when were the monster seats above the left field wall added to Fenway Park? Was it 1993, 2003, or 2013?
2003.
2003 is correct. Good job. That is one answer. One down, two to go, pal. All right, here you go. Next question. Okay, in 1998, the Red Sox executed one of the greatest trades in club history when they sent two pitching prospects to the Montreal Expos and acquired pitcher Pedro Martinez. Name one of the two prospects.
Carl Pavano.
Carl Pavano is correct. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, third question. I'm going to give you a toughie here.
Okay.
In 1996, this left-handed pitcher had to be placed on the disabled list at the end of spring training for putting out a fire in his hotel room that his wife actually started. Okay? 2 months later, he beat the White Sox in Chicago, and he was asked if he had brought his wife on the trip, which was a family trip. He said, and I quote, "No, this is Chicago, and they had that big fire here 25 years ago."
Oh, my God.
Then he was informed that the fire was actually 125 years ago, and he said, whatever. Who was the pitcher?
96.
Yep, left-handed pitcher.
I'm going to guess David Wells.
David Wells is incorrect. That's a toughie. That's a toughie.
That might be the longest question I've ever heard you ask.
It is. It's a long one. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
What was the year again? 96?
96. That's a hard question.
I don't think I know that.
Okay, it's a hard question. So how many contestants have we had? Two or three? Two?
Three.
We've had three already?
Three.
Okay.
I think.
Mike in Fall River. Mike, you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here, Tony.
Okay, here we go. All right, next guy. After beating the Yankees in 2001, this Red Sox pitcher said, and I quote, "I don't believe in damn curses. Wake up the damn Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the ass." Who was he?
Pedro Martinez.
Pedro Martinez is correct. Very good. Yep, that's exactly what Pedro said. Okay, next question. During the offseason between 2003 and 2004, the Red Sox made a highly publicized pursuit of Alex Rodriguez only to see him ultimately traded to the Yankees. What Yankees player suffered an injury that winter playing pickup basketball, opening the door for Rodriguez to play third base?
Really, huh?
Oh, you should know this. Who was the third baseman of the Yankees in 2003 and then before 2004? Okay, we got to let Mike go. He didn't get it. Matt McCarthy, quickly, do you know that one?
Yeah.
You do know that one?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
You should know that one.
Okay. Sheldon is in Sharon. Sheldon, you there?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Oh, I'm peachy. Here you go. Ready?
I got San Victorino with me. I was just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay, before winning the World Series in 2004, the Red Sox last played in the World Series in 1986. Who was the manager of that team?
Oh, that's an easy one. John McNamara.
John McNamara is correct. Good job. Hey, Sheldon, have you already won this?
No, I never even got through to you guys before.
All right. Okay, fine. I'll take your word for it.
Okay,
spell Benintendi.
Yes?
Spell Benintendi.
Oh, my God. That's one of the questions?
That's one of the questions. Spell Benintendi. Go.
Benintendi. B-E-N.
Lose him, Jimmy.
Okay, Sheldon, thanks for playing, pal. We're going to let you go. He didn't get it either. Jimmy, is that four?
Yeah.
That's four?
This is our last contestant.
Okay, Sean in Mansfield. Sean, you there?
Yep.
You guys got to get better at these, man. Who's the last Red Sox player to wear number 21?
Oh, God.
Sean, this is an easy one, pal. Oh, my God.
It was Dwayne Hosey, right?
That's an easy question, right?
Yes.
Bob Zubczyk.
Okay.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5 The Sports Hub.